بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. إخوان, we've reached in our study of the seerah the 10th year after the Bi'tha. When the scholars of the seerah, they discuss the affair of the whole of the seerah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course they categorize the seerah into the years that are connected to the Bi'tha and the years that are connected to the Hijrah. The years that are connected to the Bi'tha are those years that begin from the time that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent as a prophet up until the time that he made the Hijrah. And thereafter, those years are referred to as the years after Hijrah. So we have the years after Bi'tha, which is him being sent as a prophet and as a messenger, and then the years after Al-Hijrah. And of course, in this sitting, we're still in the middle of discussing that which is related to the years after Bi'tha. So the 10th year after Bi'tha, the Prophet ﷺ, we discussed that which was related to him going to Ta'if to give da'wah to Ahl al-Ta'if. Some of the scholars of Seerah discuss an affair that many hold occurred before he went to Ta'if to give the people of Ta'if da'wah. And that is an issue related to the tazweej or the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, you all know the first of his wives was Khadija radiallahu anha. But there are a number of narrations that indicate that during this period, the period that we're in the middle of discussing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married again. And he married Aisha and Sauda radiallahu anhuma. The scholars also discuss which of the two of them was married first. But there is a narration that makes clear the fact that the offer of marriage was presented to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he pursued those offers of marriage. A lengthy hadith that was narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, and we'll come to the discussion of that hadith in its place. As far as his marriage to Khadija, then Khadija, of course, what is established and what is most correct is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam he married Aisha radiallahu anha when she was 6 years old, and that is established. That is what is thabit from the Sunnah. That is what is present in Sahih al-Bukhari and is present in numerous other collections of hadith. The Prophet ﷺ married Aisha radiallahu anha when she was some 6 years old. And unfortunately, when I'd written a list of individuals who similarly married their wives from the leaders, particularly the leaders of England, who married their wives who were of similar ages, from them King Richard III, from them King Richard II, from them King James I, a number of the kings and earls of England who married their wives at 6, at 12, at 13, at 14. And that was because of the fact that it is only relatively up until recent times that the consideration of the age of consent, or that which was culturally considered the age of consent among peoples, have differed. While in the Middle Ages and that which is before the Middle Ages, it was well known and it was common, particularly among people of nobility and leaders and those who were at the higher echelon among the people, that they would marry younger wives, younger brides. And it was something that was considered a noble practice among the people of old. It was not something that was looked down upon. And so the fact that the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha radiallahu anha at 6 years old, one of the proofs, Ikhwan, that it was not something that was looked down upon is the fact that the enemies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the many things that they used and accused the Messenger of, alayhi salatu wasalam, accusing him of being a magician, of being a poet, of being a man who was deranged, of being one who separates between families, between father and son, and other than that, never did they accuse him, never did they dispraise him for marrying Aisha radiallahu anha. Because it was not something that was looked down upon during that era. It was not something bal, as we mentioned. It was something that was practiced among the more notables. It was practiced among the nobles. It was practiced among leaders and kings, as it continued to be practiced here in England. Up until, as we mentioned, up until prior to the 18th century and what have you. And as we mentioned, I'd written a list of the various kings in kings of England who married brides at 6 years old, brides at 8 years old, brides of 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Many. Yani, I had an A4 paper, A4 sheet, and I'll remember next week and bring that with me and mention some of them. And they were far closer to our period and to our era than the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who lived some 1400 years ago. And so the fact that the Messenger of Allah married Aisha radiallahu anha at that age, that it was not something, as we mentioned and reiterate, that was looked down upon by the people of that era. And that is of the essence that one understands that. Similarly, the women and the girls of that region, it is well known, ikhwan, in those climates, that girls mature far earlier than they do here. They mature far earlier than they do in the Western Hemisphere. And that is, of course, another factor that must be considered, that must be looked upon. And Aisha radiallahu anha was from them, that she, even at the age of 6, even when she was actually married, because the Messenger of Allah did not consummate the marriage until she was an older girl, until they had made the hijrah and the migration to Medina. But even at her age, she discusses the affair of her marriage to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how her peers were reacting, and how her peers were celebrating congratulating her and what have you. And she speaks as a mature individual, even though at that time she was very young. And so the marriage to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was something that was not considered an aib on behalf of the Messenger. Of course, when these affairs now become something that may be looked upon by certain societies and certain communities, then of course it is going to naturally be something that is used to dispraise the Messenger of Allah Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. If we look also at the other wives of the Messenger Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, the Messenger Subhanallah never married, other than Aisha, he never married another girl of that age. Rather, he married, and the other wives that he married, the scholars discuss, he married more. Of course, he married some 11 women. But the marriages that the Prophet ﷺ embarked upon from the other wives that he had, they discussed the manner in which the Messenger and his marriages, they were marriages that were in them great maslaha. There was great good in many of the marriages that he partook in. Yani, that he entered into on the basis of those marriage certain tribes. And now was considered from the tribesmen of some of the more noble and the other tribes among the Arabian Peninsula. In fact, he even married a Jewish or an ex-Jewish woman, who in terms of her lineage, in terms of her background, her family and what have you, they were considered, or they were from the Jews of Medina. And so the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his marriages was not, ikhwan, something that we look or anyone should consider something to dispraise the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, particularly considering the fact that the marriages of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, from their wisdoms, is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his sunnah encompassed both that which revolved around his male companions and that which revolved around his interaction with the children, that which revolved around his interaction with the poor, that which revolved around his interaction with the elderly, and that which revolved around his interaction and him being a messenger at home. And so the marriages of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, on the basis of those marriages, we had a number of narrators then who were able to convey how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his home. How was he as a father? How was he as a husband? How was he within the house? What was his day-to-day practice? How was he from the time that he rose, from the time that he woke? How was he when he entered the home at night? These affairs were recorded by the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so it was befitting that from his wives, there was a younger wife that was better in memorization, possibly, more than likely, better in terms of understanding, that she was bright, she was intelligent, she was astute, and from a young age was able to memorize the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, from the time that she was in her home. And just as it is well known concerning Aisha radiallahu anha, that she was proficient in the sciences of the language, proficient in the ansab of the Arab, yani the various tribes and the lineage of the Arab and their various tribes and the way in which those tribes were developed and the connection between those tribes. She was well placed with the knowledge of poetry and other than that. And so she was an intelligent girl who was ideal for being and living in the household of prophethood, memorizing and recording that which had come from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, ikhwan, she had done an excellent job in conveying to the ummah that which she memorized and saw and remembered from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And without doubt, she's from the fuqaha of this ummah, from the greatest of them. But she is from the muktireen from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, from those who narrated plentifully from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the muktireen are the muktirun, ikhwan, or those who were plentiful in narrating from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, from the Sahaba, Abu Hurairah, aywa, Ibn Umar, Jabir. Though we mention Ibn Umar from them, yani he among the premier narrators from the Prophet ﷺ, is after them slightly. We mention Abu Hurairah, Aisha radiallahu anha, Anas, Ahsan, Ibn Abbas, Naam, Abu Sa'id, Umtaz, La. Abu Sa'id mentioned. La. Jabir, Ahsan. Did you mention Jabir? Mention Jabir? سبعة. والمكثرون في رواية الأثر أبي هريرة ويليه ابن عمر وأنس والبحر كالخدري وجابر وزوجة النبي. The مكثرون from those who narrate the آثار, أبو هريرة, then ابن عمر, وأنس والبحر, البحر الذي هو ابن عباس, كالخدري وجابر وزوجة النبي عائشة رضي الله عنها. نعم. طيب نعم. So as far as the affair, بل ابن عمر you mentioned, يعني أنا كنت قصدي عبد الله ابن عمرو ابن العاص is after now. أحسنت. نعم. So Aisha radiallahu anha, ikhwan, what is thabit and established is that he married her at 6. And so, ikhwan, we're not going to enter into any falsafa or any type of reasoning around why it wasn't 6. He was 6 years old with her admission. And it is not something, ikhwan, that we're going to shy away from discussing or mentioning or accepting. And that was a reality, as Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned, as occurs in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, she said, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tazawwajaha wa hiya bintu sittin wa bana biha wa hiya bintu tis'in wa mata anha wa hiya bintu 18." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her when she was 6. He consummated the marriage when she was 9, and when he passed away, she was 18. When he passed away, she was 18 years old. But that which is established likewise is that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that she would be his wife. And so one part of the affair returned back to the fact that it was Allah Azza wa Jal that informed the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on more than one occasion that she would be his wife. Bal, that she would be his wife in the dunya and in the hereafter. And in that regard, we have a narration, the hadith and the statement of Aisha, or the Prophet ﷺ to Aisha, radiallahu anha, when she said that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أُرِيتُكِ فِي الْمَنَى مَرَّتَيْنِ إِذَا رَجُلٌ يَحْمِلُكِ فِي سَرَقَةِ حَرِيرٍ فَيَقُولُ هَذِهِ إِمْرَأَتُكِ فَأَكْشِفُهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ أَنْتِ. He said that indeed I was shown, or you were shown to me in my dream twice, that a man came to me carrying something of silk, and I opened, and he said to me that this is your wife. And so when I opened the silk, you were there. When I opened the silk, you were there. And that was something that happened similarly on another occasion when the Prophet ﷺ, he said that Jibreel came to me and showed me the image of you in his palm or in his hand. Fi kafihi. And so the scholars, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentions that how do we reconcile between the narration that mentions the silk and the narration that mentions the palm. And he mentions that the manner in which we reconcile is to say that that silk was present within the palm within the hand of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was that was shown to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he saw Aisha radiallahu anha more than once in his dream, that she would be his wife in the dunya and likewise would be his wife in the hereafter. During a similar period in the month of Shawwal of that year, in close proximity to that which is related to the marriage of Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise married Sauda bint Zam'a. As occurs in a narration that Aisha radiallahu anha, a lengthy narration that we will mention some of it, it was collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, لما هلكت خديجة, when Khadija passed away, جاءت خولة بنت حكيم امرأة عثمان بن مضعون قالت يا رسول الله ألا تزوج ألا تزوج. He said, or she said, that when Khadija passed away radiallahu anha, that خولة بنت حكيم came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was the wife of Uthman ibn Mad'un, and said, O Messenger of Allah, will you not marry? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man, who? And so she said, in shi'at bikran wa in shi'at thayyiba. He said, or she said to him, if you wish a virgin, and if you wish a thayyib, yani a non-virgin. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, faman il bikru, and who is the virgin? And so she said, Ibnatu ahabbi khalqillahi ilayk, Aisha ibnatu Abi Bakr. And so she said, the daughter of the most beloved of the creation to you, Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq. And so she said, Waman is sayyib? Qalat Saudatu binti Zam'a. She said, Sauda binti Zam'a, وَقَدْ آمَنَتْ بِكَ وَاتَّبَعَتْكَ عَلَى دِينِكَ أَوْ عَلَى مَا تَقُولُ. That indeed she has believed in you, and she has followed you upon that which you say. Yani she has followed you upon belief. And so the hadith then makes clear that even the marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha, that it was not on the basis of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pursuing women, as many of the mustashriqeen, they try to envision and paint an image of the Prophet ﷺ as though he was one that was just pursuing women, and that he had a great passion for women. Here, this narration indicates clearly that Khawla bint Hakim was the one that presented those marriages to him. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he accepted those marriages, and he accepted the offers, and on the basis of that, the Messenger ﷺ, he married Aisha and Sauda. But as far as the marriage itself and living as man and wife, then Sauda preceded Aisha radiallahu anha to that ma'isha, yani the marital life, since Aisha, her dwelling with the Messenger was after the Messenger made the migration to Medina. Well, likewise of another narration, the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, who speaks about how the Messenger was with them as wives, as he was with his families, that she mentions radiallahu anha, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يُفَضِّلْ بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الْقَسَمْ مِنْ مُكْثِهِ عِنْدَنَا وَكَانَ قَبْلَ قَوْمٍ أَوْ كَانَ قَلَّ قَوْمٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَطُوفُ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ قَلَّ يَوْمٍ أَفْوًا إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَطُوفُ عَلَيْنَا جَمِيعًا. She mentioned, radiallahu anha, that indeed the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not used to give precedence to any of us over the other when it comes to division and spending time with us. Indeed, there was never a day, or there was rarely a day, except that he would visit all of us, and he would come close to us, but he would not have relations with us until he reached his wife, the wife in which it was her night. وَلَقَدْ قَالَتْ سَوْدَى بِنْتْ زَمْعَةٍ هِنَا أَثَنَّتْ وَثَرِقَتْ نعم وفارقت أن يفارقها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله يومي لآئشة. She said, and then when Sauda, she grew elderly, and she feared that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم would separate from her or would divorce her. It was her fear. It was not something that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had made mention to her, but it was something that she feared. Then she said, O Messenger of Allah, give my day to Aisha. Give my day to Aisha. And so the Prophet ﷺ accepted that from her. Of course, it was her right to do it as she pleases. And so the Prophet ﷺ accepted that from her. And she said, نَقُولُ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْزَالُ اللَّهِ فِي وَفِي أَشْبَاهِهَا أَرَاهُ قَالْ وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا نُشُوزًا. She said, and we believe that that was the reason that the verse in Surah An-Nisa was revealed, and if a woman fears from her ba'al, from her husband, nushuz, yani that if she fears marital discord from her husband, to the end of the verse in Surah An-Nisa. She said that we believe that that was in relation, or that had a connection to that which was connected to Sauda bint Zam'a. So the Prophet ﷺ then, during that period, he married both Aisha radiallahu anha and Sauda radiallahu anhuma. From the historians that also held then that it was after that, yani after the marriage, that the Prophet ﷺ made the trip to Ta'if, the trip that we discussed last week, when he went to give da'wah to the people of Ta'if. From the people of knowledge and from the historians that also held that occurred after he married Aisha radiallahu anha, and after he married Sauda radiallahu anha, and that would be, in terms of the collection, of when one looks at the narrations, then no doubt that is wajih, and there is a waj and an angle to hold that was the sequence of what took place. And as we mentioned, how many of these narrations they are mentioned, or there is some ijtihad, and they are mentioned in different places by some of the scholars of Sirah, some of the scholars of history, because of the fact that many of the narrations, or some of the narrations, don't have a specific mention of exactly when that affair occurred. But because of indications within the text, the scholars are able to place those narrations in particular places. And so the books of Sirah, you may find, in some issues, they differ in terms of when, chronologically, some of these affairs occurred. And so in this narration then, after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam he returned back from Taif. After he returned, and we mentioned that after his return, he was under the protection of Mut'im ibn Adi, that he gave the Prophet ﷺ protection, as Abu Talib used to protect him, to the extent that the Prophet ﷺ, he said during the Battle of Badr, that if Mut'im was alive, and he sought permission, or he sought from me to release them, then I would give them over to him. That was the prisoners of war during the Battle of Badr, and they were from the worst of Quraysh, the worst of those who used to persecute the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, if Mut'im was alive and he sought and he requested from me to release them, to free them and give them over to him, then I would have done so. Even though the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ultimately released them, he ultimately let them go. He said that you should go, فَإِنَّكُمْ الطُّلَقَى. Indeed, you are those who have been released, and you are those who are freed. So on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, we have here then a hadith that indicates that when the Prophet ﷺ returned, he wasn't deflated by the fact that he was persecuted in Taif, and that he was stoned and he bled profusely in Taif. He wasn't deflated by that. Ikhwan, he returned as diligent as he was when he left. And he returned and continued to give da'wah during the period that followed. And in that regard, we have the statement of Jabir radiallahu anhu, who said, مَكَثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَكَّةِ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ يَتْبَعُ النَّاسُ فِي مَنَازِلِ أَوْ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ بِعُكَّاذ وَمَجَنَّةِ وَفِي الْمَوَاسِمْ بِمِنَى يَقُولُ مَنْ يُؤْوِينِي مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي حَتَّى أُبَلِّغَ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي وَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. He said that indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he remained in Mecca for 10 years, following the people, whether in their dwelling places, in their places of residence, or likewise in the marketplaces. And he mentions from them Uqad, which was a market, a well-known market in Mecca, and Majannah, during the Mawsim, Majannah, another marketplace, and in the Mawsim, yani during the period of Hajj. And he would say, who will protect me, who will aid me, so that I may convey the message of my Lord, and for him is Jannah. He said, Hatta inna ar-rajula la yakhruju min al-Yaman aw min Masr fa ya'tiyahu qawmuhu wa yaqulun ihzir ghulama Quraysh la yuftinannak. He mentioned that to the extent his affair became so well known that it occurred that a man would leave from Yemen and to go to Mecca for Hajj. And of course, Ikhwan, the Hajj was a paganistic Hajj of nakedness and debauchery, and other than that. But they would leave the various regions around the Arabian Peninsula to perform Hajj. And so, a man would leave, and before and prior to him leaving, his family, they would admonish him, saying, beware, be careful, make sure the youth of Quraysh doesn't put you under trial. That is, don't listen to him, don't be taken in by him. Yani, in Tebi. And so they would say, he said, a man would leave from Yemen and a man would leave from Egypt, and they would say, be aware of this ghulam, ghulama Quraysh, la yuftinukum. Don't let him put you under trial. وَيَمْشِي بَيْنَ رِجَالِهِمْ وَهُمْ يَشِيرُونَ إِلَيْهِ بِالْأَصَابِعِ حَتَّى بَعَثَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ يَثْرِبْ فَآوِيْنَاهُ وَصَدَّقْنَاهُ. He said that they would, or he would walk among their men, and they would point at him with their fingers. Yani, they would point at him and ridicule him. Yani, there he is. Yani, that is him. So they would ridicule him until Allah Azza wa Jal sent us to him from Yathrib. Until he sent us to him from Yathrib. Yani, us from Medina, Ahlul Medina, Jabir, us from Ahlul Medina. He said, until Allah Azza wa Jal sent us to him from Yathrib, and we believed in him, and we accepted and deemed that which he said to be true. فَيَخْرُجَ الرَّجُلُ مِنَّا فَيُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَيُقْرِئُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, so one of us would go out to him, and we would believe in him, and he would recite the Qur'an to him. فَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَيُسْلِمُونَ بِإِسْلَامِهِ. He said they would. He would recite the Quran to them. He would return back to their family, and they would embrace Islam on the basis of his Islam. So the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, men would come to him from Medina, from Yathrib, which was known as Yathrib at that time. Men would come to him from Medina. They would believe in him. They would listen to him. They would have the Quran recited to them. And then they would return back to their families. And when they would return back to their families, the family would embrace on the basis of the Islam of that one individual that went and saw the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, in another narration, and of course the story of the Rahat and the group that came from Medina and listened to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is one that of course we'll get into as we get closer to the Hijrah to Medina. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say, هَلْ مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَحْمِلُونِي إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَإِنَّ قُرَيْشًا قَدْ مَنَعُونِي أَنْ أُبَلِّغَ كَلَامَ رَبِّي. He said, is there a man from among you? Is there any individual that will bring me to his people? For indeed Quraysh, they have prevented me from conveying the speech of my Lord. Likewise, Abu Zanad mentioned that a man narrated to me saying that Rabi'a ibn Abad min Bani Dil kana jahiliyan fa aslam. That he was from the people of Jahiliyyah and he embraced. And he said, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فِي سُوقِ ذِي الْمَجَازِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. He said that I saw, when I was in Jahiliyyah, I saw the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the souq, and in the marketplace known as ذِي الْمَجَازِ. I saw him in that marketplace and he was saying, oh people, say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. He said, وَالنَّاسُ مُجْتَمِعُونَ عَلَيْهِ وَرَاءَهُ رَجُلٌ وَضِيءُ الْوَجْهِ أَحْوَلْ ذُو الْغَدِيرَتَيْنِ يَقُولُ إِنَّهُ صَابِئٌ كَاذِبٌ يَتْبَعُهُ حَيْثُ ذَهَبٌ. He said that indeed I saw thereafter an individual following him. The people would gather around him, and behind him there was an ugly man who was cross-eyed and who had two large plaits. And he would walk behind him saying, he indeed is Sabi'i, which again was the name that they used to use for one that abandoned their religion. He is Sabi'i, he is Kazib, he's a liar. And he would follow him wherever he went. فَسَعَلْتُ عَنْهُ فَذَكَرُوا لِي نَسَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَالُوا هَذَا عَمَّهُ أَبُو الْهَبِ. He said, so I asked about him and they would mention the affair of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his lineage. And then they would say, and this is his uncle, Abu Lahab. And so the narration indicates then that he was an ugly man, who was cross-eyed, who had two plaits, used to follow him, ikhwan. They wouldn't leave him to give da'wah. They would follow him around in the marketplace, preventing the people from him. And so from the tribes that the Messenger of Allah presented himself to, he presented himself to Kinda, to Bani Kalb, likewise to Bani Abdullah, to Banu Hanifa, to Banu Amir ibn Sa'sa'a, to the tribe of Muharib ibn Khasfa, to Fazara, to the tribe of Ghassan, to Bani Murrah, Bani Sulaim, Banu Abasa, Banu Nazar, Banu Al-Harith ibn Ka'ab, Banu Udra, Banu Hadarama, Hadarama, and none of them responded to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam at all. None of them responded to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam at all. And so from the first signs of response was that which took place with an individual known as Suwayd ibn Samit. Suwayd ibn Samit was from among the people of Medina. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him da'wah on an occasion. They used to refer to him as Al-Kamil, the perfect one. And that was because of the fact that he had beautiful skin, that he was of noble lineage, that he was a leader from among them. He had a good bloodline and what have you. So they would refer to him as the perfect one. And he was, in terms of his physical appearance and his background, and he was as noble as they come. فقال له سويد. And so سويد, he said to him, when the Prophet ﷺ gave him da'wah to Islam, he said, لَعَلَّ الَّذِي مَعَكْ مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعِي. He said, perhaps that which is with you, that which you have, is similar to that which I have. And I got something similar. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, اِعْرِضْهَا عَلَيَّ. He said, let me hear it, what you have. And so سويد عرضها عليه. He recited something to him. فقال له إن هذا لكلام حسن. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him, indeed, this is good speech. He said, والذي معي أفضل منه. He said, but that which I have is better. And then he recited the Quran, and he said, قرآن أنزله الله تعالى علي وهو هدى ونور. He said, indeed, it is the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed to me, and in it is guidance and nur. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited to him and then called him to Islam. And he accepted that Islam and returned back to his people after saying, إن هذا لقول حسن. Indeed, that which you say is something very good. And so he embraced Islam and he returned back to his people. And then when he returned to Quraysh, when he returned to Medina, the tribe of Khazraj, which he was from, he didn't remain among them for a period except that they killed him. فَإِنْ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَنَرَاهُ قَدْ قُتِلْ وَهُوَ مُسْلِمْ وَكَانَ قَتْلُهُ قَبْلَ يَوْمَ بِعَاثِ. And so he was killed, even though what is most correct is that he was Muslim, and that was before a war that occurred between the tribe of Aws and Khazraj. Na'am. And so the Prophet ﷺ, similarly, he presented himself to some of the tribes the tribes of Al-Madinah, from among, in particular, the tribe of Khazraj. He presented himself likewise in his da'wah to a tribe known as Banu Abdul Ashal, and they came upon him, and they were from among those who had a pledge of allegiance and an agreement with the tribe of Quraysh. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he gave them da'wah, and he said to them, هَلَّكُمْ فِي خَيْرٍ مِمَّا جِئْتُمْ لَهُ. He said to them, do you want that which is better than what you have come for? Do you want something that is better than what you have come for? فَقَالُوا لَهُ وَمَا ذَاكَ. And so they said to him, and what is that? And so he said, أَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بَعَثَنِي إِلَى الْعِبَادِ أَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَأَنْزَلَ عَلَيَّ الْكِتَابِ. He said, so I then am the messenger of Allah. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has sent me to the worshippers to call them to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone and not making partners with Him with anything. And He has revealed upon me a book. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ لَهُمْ الْإِسْلَامُ وَتَلَى عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ. And so He mentioned Islam to them, recited the Qur'an to them. And so an individual known as Iyas ibn Mu'az, and he was a young individual among them, he said, هَذَا وَاللَّهِ خَيْرٌ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا جِئْتُمْ لَهُ. He said, this by Allah is better than what you've come for. قَالَ فَأَخَذَ أَبُو حَيْسَرْ أَنَسِ بْنِ رَافِعْ هَنَفَ مِنْ تُرَابِ الْبَطْحَاءِ فَضَرَبَ بِهَا وَجْهَ إِيَاسِ إِبْنِ مُعَازِ فَقَالَ دَعْنَا مِنْكَ فَلَا عُمْرِي لَقَدْ جِئْنَا لِغَيْرِ هَذَا. He said that this individual, then Anas, from Iyad ibn Mu'ad, when he made that statement, that this is definitely, this is good, this kalam is jayid, it's good speech. He said, an individual from among them, Abu al-Haysar, who was from the the more elder individuals among the tribe, whose name was Anas ibn Rafi', he took a handful of dirt and he threw it in the face of Iyas and said, "Leave this. This is not what we have come for. We indeed have come for something other than this." And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood, qama anhum, وانصرفوا إلى المدينة. He stood from them, and they rose, and they returned back to Medina. And thereafter, there was something of a war between Aus and Khazraj, and it was the two main tribes in Medina. ثم لم يلبث إياس بن معاذ أن هلاك. قال محمود بن لبيب فأخبرني من حضره من قومه عند موته أنهم لم يزالوا يسمعونه يهلل الله تعالى ويكبره ويحمده ويسبحه حتى مات فما كانوا يشكون أنه قد مات مسلما. This Iyas, when they returned, there was this war between the tribe of Aus and between the tribe of Khazraj, and when they returned then during the fighting, since it was not long after they returned that Iyas ibn Mu'adh, who was the one that made the statement that what he's saying is good, that it was not long after that that he passed away. And Mahmud ibn Labid, he said that those who were present at his death from his people informed me of the fact that he did not, when they were at his bedside, and when he was passing away, that he did not cease saying La ilaha illallah, and saying Allahu Akbar, and saying Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah, up until the time that he passed away and that he died. And so they had no doubt that he died as a Muslim. And so indeed, Ikhwan, the affair of the da'wah that the Prophet ﷺ, he gave to those tribes and he gave to those individuals that approached and came to the Messenger ﷺ, to Mecca, and came to make Hajj, came for business or came to the marketplaces, the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't stop and didn't cease. He continued to be diligent in giving da'wah, and we will look at some of the other instances of him giving da'wah and the lead up to the izin and the permission to make the migration to Medina in next week's session, inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.